I'm going to, Joan gives you very explicit directions about how long you could read. I'm going to read four poems tonight. I'm going to read three from The Pastor's Wife Considers Pinball, and one from my collection of Sistinas. The first one I'm going to read is called Purgatory, and it's this is one that takes place in Pittsburgh. Purgatory. My Pittsburgh son haunts thrift shops, collects old rosaries, hangs them on nails down cellar near his bathroom door. Buried with their best crystal rosaries, crocheted among their fingers, all those old ladies trouble me when I consider how their everyday onyx rosaries were taken by their daughters to be entombed in gold paper gift boxes, until years later, when those daughters, readying for their move to Florida for the sake of the mover's bill, lightened their load by donating the darker contents of their dresser drawers to Goodwill. I'm going to read one Sistina. Most people can't stand a lot of Sistinas at one sitting. However, right now, this is my favorite Sistina because it was just anthologized in an anthology called Obsession, which was published by the University of New England Press just this spring. This one's called Decoration Day, and I'm not going to go into all the details about what a Sistina is, but they do have six stanzas and of six lines each, and each those six lines, each those six words at the end of each line is repeated. And so when you choose your six words for the end, you sort of have to pay attention. The words that are the end words for this one is, everything you know isn't wrong, honey. This was written a long time ago when I was still teaching at Edinburgh. And this was, everything you know isn't wrong was inscribed on one of the student desks in the classroom where I taught. And there was such desperation about it that it haunted me. I wrote four poems, and finally the fifth poem was the one that turned out right. Decoration Day. Driving to the cemetery with everything you need for planting geraniums, you hear the water slosh, the spades settle, and know this grave gardening isn't easy. The flowers are the wrong color red, Aunt Martha tells you. Honey, we've always had magenta. Honey, now turn left here, then right. Everything seems confounding. Your parents' graves on the wrong side of the cemetery lane. You haul the flowers and what water hasn't spilled where you know your parents are, although you know they will never know you are here. Honey, look over there. George Whiteley wasn't a veteran. Why's he got a flag? Everything about this cemetery has gone downhill. You follow Aunt Martha's instructions, move the wrong flag to the right grave. Poor Tom Brown, wrong again. Flunked out of school, you know. Joined the Navy just in time for Pearl Harbor. You remember how we limped up your walk, peddling honey in bear-shaped jars and beeswax candles. Everything sweet and warm. And how your mother wasn't really smiling when she said, isn't it good to see you, Tom? Is it wrong to think that way about your mother? Everything about her seems so clear, yet you know sometimes she let things happen, like honey left too long turning into sugar. You plant what you now see are orange geraniums. You will abandon to their death, for this isn't a cemetery with perpetual care. Honey, I'll take these pots so you won't buy the wrong color again next year. You know how your mother loved pink and rose everything. Honey, turning right then left isn't wrong. Turn left after the gate. You know, I can't thank you enough for everything. I'm going to read two of the poems from the title series that make up The Pastor's Wife Considers Pinball. I wrote a series of 10 poems about pinball and all sorts of aspects about it. And each poem is just numbered game one, game two, etc. So I'm going to read game one. If you're not worth a quarter, what are you worth? Here in the Rust Belt, our schools are all rules. Our sons play air guitar, wait for the army recruiter, while a mysterious fever sharpens the ball. Our gingerbread men pluck out their own dragees, use them to play pinball. The Lord is about to hurl thee away violently. He will seize firm hold on thee and throw thee like a ball into a wide land. Then thou shalt die, and there the chariots of their glory shall lie. What if Vern Sherrod was right? Jesus Christ, this is the only real true game, half luck, half skill. You never really master the system, but you can get damn good. Vern used to say, his biceps clanging as he wrung free game after free game out of that flickering Gottlieb machine beside the wooden soda cases, their bubbles sleeping down at Lee's General Store. It was later he traded his 57 Chevy for a pickup truck, started his own funeral business. This is game nine. I've owned a couple of pinball machines in my life. When I moved into a condo, I had to give up my last pinball machine. That was the hardest part about moving to a condo. But I don't think that the people above or below me would have been happy about but this is based on my first pinball machine, which was a 1960 Gottlieb machine, which was mechanical action. And so the thing about it that you need to know is that there's been a kind of inflation in scores over the years, the decades, and how many points you get in pinball. And so this one being a 1960, the point scores seem kind of low, and this is this actually contains a pinball game in this poem. Game nine. Sherry, a fortified wine, needs no refrigeration. It will keep a long time, even if you drink a glass and a half, then forget the bottle on the back shelf between the alum and the cream of tartar. The sherry will be there 4 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep, after the last drop of ordinary seems to have dampened your wadded tissue. Then, a glass of condensed sunlight, aged in oak, tended by faithful men, is an extraordinary gift. But so is the magic ball that beats upon the 1,000 points when lit thumper bumper zooms up through the corners, both left and right, 3,000 points, 3,000 points back again the hard way, right and left, 6,000 points, slips through the side sluices, 2,000 points, twice, thrice, my flipper work is flawless. I pass the ball, I'm all right, reflexes, hammer, I'm a goddamn concerto for hands and eyes. I am awash in free games, extra balls, gongs, flashing lights, bells, brass bands brought in from Chicago, Oysters Rockefeller, movie deals, stock deals, opera deals. It won't matter if I gain weight. Doctor deals, dance deals, Pied Piper of Hamelin deals, and wham, right down the middle between the flippers, and whoop, out again. I flip the ball up around the right-hand corner, 3,000 points. It could have binged off the 10-point rubber. Who knows what Lazarus did after he arose, kissed his sisters, took a bath, ate some bread, and drank a little wine.